Book 3. This written in Carnuntum. We ought to consider not only that our life is daily wasting away and a smaller part of it is left, but another thing also must be taken into account, which is that if a man should live longer, it is quite uncertain whether the understanding will remain sufficiently capable of comprehending things, and retain the power of contemplation that strives to acquire knowledge of the divine and the human. For if he shall begin to fall into dementia, other faculties like perspiration, nutrition, imagination, appetite, and so on, will not fail, but the power of making use of ourselves, and filling up the measure of our duty, and clearly separating all appearances, and considering whether a man should now depart from life, and whatever else of the kind absolutely requires a disciplined reason, all this is already extinguished. We must make haste, then, not only because we are daily nearer to death, but also because the conception of things and the understanding of them cease first. We ought to observe also that even the unlooked-for things that attend on natural processes contain something pleasing and attractive. For instance, when bread is baked, there is some splitting at the surface, and where the loaf cracks open in a fashion contrary to the purpose of the baker's art, it is in some way beautiful and particularly excites the appetite. And again, figs, when they are quite ripe, gape open, and in the ripe olives, the very circumstance of their being near to rottenness adds a peculiar beauty to the fruit. And the ears of corn bending down, and the lion's wrinkled brows, and the foam that flows from the mouth of wild boars, and many other things, though they are far from being beautiful when examined on their own, still, because they are consequent upon those natural processes, they help to adorn them, and they please the mind, so that if a man should have a feeling and a deeper insight with respect to the things that are produced in the universe, there is hardly one of those consequences that attend on them which will not seem to him to be in a manner disposed so as to give pleasure. And so he will see even the real gaping jaws of wild beasts with no less pleasure than those which painters and sculptors show by imitation. And in an old woman and an old man he will be able to see a certain maturity and comeliness, and the attractive loveliness of his own slave boys he will be able to look on with chaste eyes. And many such things will present themselves not pleasing to every man, but to him only who has become truly familiar with nature and her works. Hippocrates, after curing many diseases, himself fell sick and died. The Chaldean astrologers foretold the deaths of many, and then fate caught them too. Alexander and Pompey and Julius Caesar, after so often completely destroying whole cities, and in battle cutting to pieces many 10,000s of cavalry and infantry, themselves too at last departed from life. Heraclitus, after so many speculations on the conflagration of the universe, was filled with the water of the dropsy, and died smeared all over with a poultice of dung. And lice destroyed Democritus, and other lice killed Socrates. What means all this? You have embarked, you have made the voyage, you are come to shore, now disembark. If indeed to another life there is no want of gods, not even there, but if to a state without sensation, you will cease to be held in thrall by pains and pleasures, and to be a slave to the vessel of the body, which is as much inferior as that which serves it is superior, for the one is intelligence and deity, the other is earth and corruption. Do not waste the remainder of your life in thoughts about other people which do not refer to some object of common utility, for you lose the opportunity of doing something else when you have such thoughts as, what is such a person doing, and why, and what is he saying, and what is he thinking of, and what is he contriving, and whatever else of the kind makes us wander away from the observation of our own sovereign mind. We should put a stop to everything that is without a clear purpose and useless in the series of our thoughts, but most of all the prying and the malignant. A man should learn to turn his mind only to those things about which, if one should suddenly ask, "What do you have now in your thoughts?" with perfect openness you might immediately answer, "This or that," so that from your words it should be plain that everything in you is without guile and benevolent, and such as befits a social animal, and one that cares not for thoughts about pleasure or sensual enjoyments at all, nor has any rivalry or envy and suspicion, or anything else for which you would blush if you were to say that you had it in your mind. Such a man who no longer puts off being among the company of the best of his kind is like a priest and minister of the gods. He also makes use of the deity that is planted within him, leaving him uncontaminated by pleasure, unharmed by any pain, untouched by any insult, feeling no wrong, a fighter for the noblest prize, one who cannot be overpowered by any passion, dyed deep with justice, accepting with all his soul everything that happens and is assigned to him as his portion. And but rarely, and only out of great necessity and for the general interest, thinking about what another says or does or thinks. For it is only what belongs to himself that he makes his business, and he thinks merely of that which is allotted to himself out of the sum total of things, and he makes his own acts fair, and he is persuaded that whatever his lot may be, it is good. For the lot which is assigned to each man is carried along with him, and carries him along with it. And he remembers also that every rational animal is his kinsman, and that to care for all men is according to man's nature, and a man should hold on to the opinion not of all, but of those only who confessedly live according to nature. As to those who live not so, he always bears in mind what kind of men they are both at home and outside, both by night and by day, and what they are, and with what men they live an impure life. Accordingly, he does not value at all the praise which comes from such men, since they are not even satisfied with themselves.